Jersey.
Nope.
He'll get it to Phelps. To Olivia. She'll try to take the baseline. Gets it up.
Yay!
Oh, she's wondering what there was no whistle, but they didn't blow anything. So
well, that's what I think.
Stolen, though, by Phelps.
Wow.
Phelps not driving after what happened there.
I know.
He'll get it in the paint to zero.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, Misty read Misty. That so quick. Nice.
Gets it to Precious.
Yeah.
Precious to Charlotte. I mean, not Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Get it to Charlotte.
Charlotte's got it. Passes to Precious. Morgan.
Morgan looking.
Ooh.
They're just trying to force it into that paint, though.
I just don't know. If you want to kill a little bit of clock, then you have it. But I don't know. It's just you get the clock.
Three seconds.
Oh, man, you got to be careful in the three-second call, man. That's the problem.
That's another turnover.
That's the problem. You have to
still 25-17. Over Bristol Bay with the ball. It's a zero at the top. Oh, stolen by...
Never mind.
Oh, 2-3 white. That's a foul on Misty offensive.
Oh, man. But you
they
got...
put it for real. Some of these girls really don't hide an elbow very well.
Well, you see that every time in the game. Like,
offensive on Misty.
Yep.
Zero with the ball for Bristol Bay.
Wow.
It's a baseline, puts it up.
Ooh.
No good. Misty with the rebound. Gets it to Morgan.
Morgan passes Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte puts up the shot. Oh, it's short. Ooh. Oh, Misty. Morgan.
Oh my goodness! Wow, they're just hustling for every loose ball!
Morgan with the ball now. I'm just gonna go sit on the side. Morgan to Charlotte. Into Misty at the top.
Oh, she was thinking about it.
She should have shot it. They'll get it to Morgan. Morgan getting met by some defense.
Oh, there was a lot of
pressure.
They'll
get it to pass it all the way back out.
Ooh.
Precious with the ball now. Into Mia to Misty. Long pass over. To Morgan for
That was a good look.
No good.
That was a good look by her. I give her credit.
Yes. But Bristol Bay's ball. Pass into the paint.
Oh wow, there was a double.
By Morgan. Oh.
Wow, you can see so much deflections that they were coming over towards that side, and I had a weird feeling I just saw it.
Yeah, they saw what was happening. Out of bounds, last touch by the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Inbound pass. Bristol Bay on the side, back down to the paint.
Oh, man, and Morgan knew it. She's
Morgan
like,
knew it. I didn't mean for that to happen.
I know. She's like in her head, just like, dang.
That's, bummer.
Oof, that was bad.
But she clearly knocked her over.
Well,
so.
No kidding.
But we didn't want it. That's not what she wanted.
I know, yeah.
Oh, accidental.
Yeah.
Inbound pass to Olivia for three. No good.
And Precious got
my Precious.
I just heard the slam.
I don't know if you guys have heard that.
I heard it. I was in shock.
There's
got
to be some finger marks on it.
I know. I've heard it so loud. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Okay, inbound pass.
All right.
To Charlotte.
Charlotte's got. She will figure out the offense to play.
Ooh, nice look into Misty back out. I don't know why they're not taking the shots underneath, but they're not.
Oh my goodness!
Is that Precious again?
Yep.
Precious for three. 55 seconds left in the fourth.
Oh, there's that double team.
Getting out of there. Oh, score!
Oh, Misty's got it!
Misty gonna go all the way, puts up the shot. It's no good.
Wow.
I think these girls are tired of getting roughed up there.
It means I don't know. Sam Point's more of the feisty one they want. Oh dang.
Well, Bristol Bay with the ball. Swatted out of her hands by Charlotte. Looking for a person. 29 seconds.
You did Sam Point still up.
In the paint to number 22.
Oh, and we got over the back. I saw it. Oh, or scratch that.
Another foul on Misty.
Yeah, scratch that. My bad.
Five team fouls now. Oh, no.
Just three.
Okay. Two.
Yeah.
Wrong side.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh my god. They saw that one.
I knew I saw that.
That one's gonna be fun. I'll miss you again. Right? 23. That block kind of hit her face.
I did see some a little bit. I don't know. It's hard.
Okay, Bristol will take the ball out on their side. Inbound pass.
Oh, man.
To Olivia for three. No good.
Wow.
Oh, rebound by Misty.
Oh, here we go.
Charlotte. Long pass down to Morgan. Too long.
Just too fast on that.
13 seconds left in the third.
All right. We got the next ref in the third. 13 seconds. Let's see if Bristol Bay can get a shot off before the clock runs out.
Over to Olivia. Long pass over to Dunn.
Whoa.
They're going to call a white
I'll
ball.
I'll give you a call soon, okay?
Whew. 3 seconds
we're
left.
We're going to have a transition between quarters.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Mikia.
3 seconds left. Oh, 1-1. So that's shooting now for... If you notice, our ref is
he's limping. Yeah,
we're going to get a sub for him, I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to have to get a sub for this one.
We actually are.
Yeah,
I feel Ref bad. Charles is coming in.
I feel bad for him.
I do too, he's powering through.
I know. It's more, I think it's just... Oh, Charlotte's actually going for two.
Well, yeah, it's a 1-1 now.
Yeah, I thought it was just a fear.
So Charlotte's first shot.
Oh,
is in and out.
Man. But Charlotte knows, she's like, my bad, I just gotta get a good one.
Next one.
They'll be ready for it.
She'll get it.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, no.
Off the mark.
Here we go.
Oh, put it up, Charlotte!
Jump ball! No.
0.3 seconds up. I was trying to tell her to shoot because we have 0.3 seconds left.
I hear you on that one.
So we got everyone in the
room. All right, here we go. 3 seconds left.
All right. It's no good. I think it went up a little late anyway.
All right, and your score is 28-17. Your Lady Eagles 28 and Bristol Bay 17. We'll be back in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, into the third, 28-17. You heard that. Bristol Bay is ahead. I mean, Sandpoint's ahead of Bristol Bay. Let's listen to just a few seconds of music.
Clouds above me, never thought I'd find someone to love me. Lost in the crowd, never felt so lonely, not really living, barely holding on to a dream of what could be.
Quarters, so here we go. So we got a substitution for a referee is Charles Mack. Our referee for the guy for the other one is not doing too well. He's kind of injured, so we'll figure out how good this fourth quarter is, ladies and gentlemen. So don't worry, your Lady Eagles are up. Bristol Bay has the ball in their hand. She's thinking. Oh, that is a cut. Almost there. You almost got it.
Yeah.
And then, yep. It's gonna go that way.
Did we turn the sound back on?
Yeah, I turned it on.
Okay, thank you.
We're good. I was ready.
Good job. All right, Morgan.
Passes.
Long pass over to Misty.
Whoa.
Goes to Charlotte. Long pass over to Morgan. In the paint to Mia.
Whoa.
Back out to Morgan.
Wow.
Girls are quick pace ball here. Precious for three.
Oh my
no
goodness.
Good.
Precious had a good look.
Rebound by Belts. Was Belts a player of the game for the first time?
I think so, yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yep, yeah, we got fouls.
She is.
He's going to go pick up the ref and take him to the
player. I've got the key.
Oh, perfect. I think Mike was going to pick him up on that.
I've got the car.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And it's still their ball.
Okay, perfect. I don't know.
Oh, into Olivia. Olivia for three.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
A rebound by Phelps. She puts it right back up. That
wow,
was
that was insane.
19-28, still in favor of Sandpoint.
Sandpoint's really going to need to start preparing to push the lead up.
Ooh, Bristol Bay up in their defense.
Oh, that's why
Morgan,
they're doing it.
Long pass to Charlotte. I hate those passes.
Yeah.
Back to Morgan.
All right.
Precious for three.
Oh, no, that good. Was a good look.
Rebound by
here we go.
Bristol Bay. Olivia with it.
Oh, wow.
Pass is deflected by Morgan. She goes up. Oh, the nice left-handed layup. Good job.
And you're looking to score 30-19. Your Eagle, Lady Eagles are up.
All right. Oh, pass.
Whoa.
Again
oh,
by Morgan.
My goodness.
Morgan taking it all the way.
Wow.
She does.
I don't know what's going on here, but the Lady Eagles just turned up their offense yeah. and just went through.
Well, I mean, Bristol Bay stepped it up, so so did the Eagles, you know?
Yeah.
Looking for somebody. Bristol Bay runs the baseline. Stolen by, almost stolen by Precious. Girls.
Oh. Timeout.
Oh, quick timeout by Black. Good call.
Wow, ladies and gentlemen, your Lady Eagles are playing incredible basketball right now. They're up 32, and they're playing stingy defense. They're finding their offensive rhythm and shooting. And, of course, Morgan is just out of her mind. Precious, ooh, better get a heat check. She's a three-point shooter. That girl can shoot, man. Woo. But, no, they're playing excellent basketball right now. And then you got to give credit to the Bristol Bay Angels. They're
hanging in
there. They're trying
they're
their best.
They're taking a beat, too, literally.
I know. It's not even a joke. This is why girls' basketball is so aggressive right now. And they're playing so
yeah,
much
they're both
feisty.
In it to win it.
I know. And you still got 5 minutes
time.
Left. So the game is not over until the clock hits completely zero.
I'll remember to turn off the music this time.
Yes. All right, here we go.
Back ball.
5 minutes left. So your Lady Eagles are still up 32.
Come on!
And here we go, inbounding.
Ooh, long pass. Man. Inbound pass goes out of bounds.
Come on, Eagles, let's go.
And yep, the Eagles will get it. Precious will inbound to Charlotte. Pass it to Precious, Morgan, to Charlotte, Misty.
Oh, into Mia. Mia at the top.
Oh,
high pull shot, no good.
Oh, whoa.
Misty with the rebound.
Wow.
Charlotte to Misty.
There you go.
Oh,
that
man.
Was a three-point shot off the mark.
I mean, Misty's not afraid to shoot. I give her credit. If she has a lineup a shot, she can take it. But it's just for me. Maybe just attack the paint a little bit more and find some plays.
Uh-oh, Christopher says our battery's dying. What do we do?
just keep going through. Just
okay.
keep going through.
Okay. All right, Bristol Bay ball. Shot is up. No good. Rebound by 24.
Wow.
Kaylee, right? Caitlin.
Yeah.
Yep. She's practically at the rim.
Yeah.
That rebound putback was easy.
Yeah.
Precious to Charlotte.
Well, yeah, they're pressuring their defense
yeah,
now.
Defense.
They are stepping.
Oh, long pass overthrown by a mile there.
Yep.
So that'll be a turnover for the Eagles. 32-21, 5 minutes left in the game.
Come on, defense, Eagles!
All right, so you got 5 minutes left in the quarter.
Bristol Bay.
Really putting a lot of pressure
run the
baseline.
Now. Puts up a shot. Oh.
Oh. It, it's still Bristol Bay.
I don't know
Bay.
What the call is.
She hit it up there. It's still Bristol Bay ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bristol Bay, inbound pass. They'll get it to Olivia for
oh,
three.
Oh, wow.
Zero with the rebound. Put it back up. No good.
Whoa, whoa. Oh. Was it over back?
Black
yep. Yep. As you can see, we got an official Charles Mack.
We had a switch, yeah.
So, yeah.
Our last ref went to the clinic.
To get it looked at.
Another ankle. Jeez, this tournament thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Ankles. Charlotte to Misty. Back to Charlotte. Into Morgan. Morgan looking for her cutter. She'll run the baseline. Pass it out to Mia. She puts it out.
Wow!
Oh, Mia!
So you're looking at your score of 34-21. Your Lady Eagles are up.
Lady Eagles extending the lead.
And a timeout.
What?
Coach doesn't like what he sees right now.
Yep. He's going to talk to the girls.
So here's what I'm thinking right now. If I'm the Lady Eagles right now, they're going to need to just play smart basketball and play some smart passing.
Well,
I mean, just kill some of the clock, kill some of the play. I mean, you got to just make use the ball handlers and just pass the ball so smoothly and everything. And then I know Bristol Bay is going to put a lot of pressure on you, so you got to stay focused.
Yep.
So you got 4 minutes left.
Okay.
4 minutes left.
4:25 left in this game.
So Sandpoint still has some momentum.
Do you know what rank these teams are? We don't have a bracket. I can't believe there's a bracket in the thing.
What?
I was wondering what these two were ranked. Oh. Bristol Bay for a long two.
Two shots.
No good.
But Charlotte's got it.
Quickly met by defense. She'll get it to Misty. Ooh. It was just as quickly met by defense.
Whoa.
She gets it to Mia. Mia for the shot. That's up.
Oh my goodness!
Nice shot by
Mia! Mia just hit a crazy good-looking jump shot!
Long pass. Ooh, over to Stolen.
Whoa!
Nice, almost stole by Precious.
Nice, you try there, Precious.
Wow, Precious is a feisty one. I give credit.
She's got a lot of talents.
Yep, I'm impressed.
Not sure what's going on.
Is it?
Morgan is crying, I think.
Is she?
Emotions are running high here.
Oh, she's got.
She's gonna have a seat.
She looks like she might be having some problems a little bit. So.
Maybe she got poked in the eye or.
Yeah. Ooh, my goodness! Whoa!
Someone just hit the deck. Rebound by Sandpoint.
So don't worry. And your substitution for Sandpoint is...
to Misty. Misty taking it all the way. Oh, that whistle blown.
Whitney Smith is something.
Whitney Smith, yes.
Something
for Morgan.
Gunderson. So don't worry. They are going to make sure Sandpoint has got the ball at their end. They're finding a way, making sure everything... Passes to Charlotte. Charlotte's got the ball. Charlotte is going to Misty. Misty's looking. Passes to Charlotte. Precious. And it's still going to stay Sandpoint ball. So Sandpoint's ball.
So, I mean, I guess
Passes Precious to Misty.
Yeah.
And we got a foul. And the foul is on... That's 24's foul. That's Kaylee. Kaylee Smith. Misty's got it. Misty's has the ball in her hand. Sandpoint can maybe run some clock a little bit. Run some clock. Oh, and there's a fight for the ball, and it's a jump ball. So it's still going to be Sandpoint's ball. So here is Charlotte will inbound the ball to Sandpoint. Passes to. Ooh. Oh, and then Bristol Bay's got it. Bristol Bay's going to take it all the way. And it's going back to Sandpoint. So don't worry about that. It's going back to Sandpoint. And Bristol Bay is going to bring in that full court press. It looks like I'm just seeing on the court right now, if you can see too. Misty will inbound it for Sandpoint. Ooh. And there we go. Misty's good. Oh my goodness, there's a turnover. And they're going for it. She's taking it all the way. Nope. And that's a foul.
Been a good tournament here so far. And I've been busy doing EMS, so we haven't been able to broadcast with my boy, but he's doing a good job. So.
No, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This is an intense game right now we're having. So Bristol Bay will do two shots at the line.
first shot is up and is no good.
Oh man.
Free throws are free points. I said that before in a lot of our games that we broadcasted. Free throws are free points.
All right.
Second shot is up and is good.
All right.
That's a bad net, so.
Precious will inbound it to Charlotte. Charlotte. Oh, oh. Wow. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, my. Got a Bristol Bay player slide right over into almost our bench here.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
That'll be fine. Is he I think he's ready. It'll be fine. We just got out of
the So oh you got 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Bristol Bay is still fighting.
Five. But I would say let's have kids here at 4:45.
First shot up and it's good.
All right. So Bristol Bay is still fighting in here. They're still coming back a little bit.
And second shot is no good. Rebounded by Misty.
Misty will throw it. Oh,
long pass to Morgan. Saved by Mia. Mia in for two. No good. Rebounded by Morgan. Back to Mia.
Oh.
And Misty.
Yep, and Misty got it back.
Misty puts it in for two.
So you're going to score 38-23. Sandpoint is still in control.
Long shot. No good by Bristol Bay for three points. No good. Oh, off the head of Misty there.
And it's White's ball. The refs just called it. So he
bounced off Misty's head there.
So he's still got 2 minutes and 28 seconds left in the fourth quarter.
Your Angels 23 and your Eagles 38. A lot of intense games here today. We've got another game here tonight at 7.
Ooh.
Long pass to Morgan, no good. Rebounded by Bristol Bay. Up for two, no good. Rebounded by Misty.
Whoa.
Oh,
wow.
And we got a player, Bristol Bay player on the ground here getting up though.
Oh, Bristol Bay is... Oh, Denteza does not like it what she sees right now.
Oh, we got a timeout here at 2:12.
Yep.
Sandpoint Eagles. Full timeout.
So no, it's been a good game so far, ladies and gentlemen. I know our girl King Cove rookies had a hard fought battle with New Haven, but it was tough for that game, but
yeah.
It was good. It was a good game they had between those two. But it's all about everything, but no. And you gotta give credit to the Lady Eagles. The Lady Eagles are playing really, really smart basketball right now.
We got another game here tonight in the losers bracket at 7 o'clock. That'll be your hometown rookies versus New Stew. So come out for that at 7 o'clock. Support your rookies. And that'll be the last game of the night. Will be the 7 o'clock game tonight.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm busy in
the family,
my wife.
Yeah.
All right, we're back in with 2:12 left in the fourth period, final period of this game.
Yep.
Over to Morgan, Sandpoint. He's going to bring it down. Heavily guarded by Bristol Bay Angel there.
Oh.
Passed over to Precious. They're getting some pressure. Over to Misty.
They could kill some clock.
I think that's what they're doing a little bit. Precious is going to go for three, no good. Rebounded by the Angels.
I don't know if you want to shoot that way, but all right.
And Angels are going to bring it down. And three-point, no good. Rebounded back again by the Angels. Another shot up, no good. Rebounded by Precious this time of Sandpoint.
Ooh.
Long pass to Morgan from Misty.
Good pass.
Wow. Oh, and she got it and the foul.
Nice little pass to Charlotte there. She was in the paint there. She goes up for two and draws the foul also. So she'll go to the line for one more shot. What's the matter?
The computer's dying.
Oh. Our computer's dying here, so hopefully it dies after. Well, we need a plug-in.
There was an extension cord.
Kind of a miscommunication there. Angels will come up with the ball. Long shot for three, no good. Rebounded by the Angels again. Another shot up. Yeah, where's the board?
Is that it?
That's for the camera.
No, that's for the camera, I think.
Oh, Austin, I have his charger.
Yeah, it's for the camera. Uh-oh, I missed the camera.
I got it.
Sorry about that.
I got it.
We're trying to get power, but we don't have the cord for the...
For three, no good, but rebound.
Whatever plugs in there.
Rebounded, and... Sandpoint's got the rebound.
This cord is for the camera. That's fine.
So whatever plugs into here, is it a fire jack or?
But we got 45 seconds. We're hoping we'll make it, right?
45 seconds. Hopefully we'll make it.
Yeah. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. We're making sure. Precious.
We'll make sure we have it charged up for the
next game.
Next game at 7 tonight. Precious is going to the line
for two.
First shot is up. No good.
Right, she will get her second attempt.
Second shot is up and is also no good. Rebounded by the Angels. 42 seconds left. See if they can come up with a shot. Three there, no good.
Oh, God.
Angels got a rebound, put in by number 24, which is Kayla Estrada.
And Morgan will go to shoot for two to extend this. Lead a little bit more higher, and it feels. Feels like your Lady Eagles are going to walk away with this win. First shot is no good.
Camera froze.
Nope.
Yeah, it is.
Ah, dang it. Oh, there we go. Not a little bit in and out.
It might be because we're losing power. Apologize the video if it's herky. We're losing power.
Well, for three, no good. And that's your end of the game.
In the game, so you've got your Eagles
31. Well, I lost my live feed from the game right at the end, but it looks like it's 31 or 41. The Eagles, Lady Eagles, Sandpoint to Bristol Bay at 30. The next game they said it's at 7. I heard it's at 6:30, so stay tuned for all that, and we'll have it. Great time, and I'll just put the radio on what's programmed this hour.
That story tomorrow on All Things Considered from NPR News. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Steve Inskeep sits down with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for a conversation about Trump 2.0.
I think that this is what authoritarians do. I think this is what kleptocracies do. I believe that this is what corrupt administrations do. They rely on the illusion of power.
That's on the next morning edition from NPR News.
It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Elsa Chang.
And I'm Juana Summers. Coming up, we remember the actress Michelle Trachtenberg, who was found dead yesterday at the age of 39.
Her death has hit millennials especially hard.
I must have been 7, and I thought she was the coolest person ever.
That story coming up after this summary of the day's news.
Live from NPR News in Culver City, California, I'm Dwayne Brown. On Capitol Hill, Democrats are pushing back on Republican efforts to slash trillions of dollars in federal funding. This comes after House Republicans narrowly passed a Trump budget proposal this week that includes making his 2017 tax cuts permanent while eliminating tens of thousands of federal jobs. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries says Republicans should look at Elon Musk's federal contracts if they want to get serious about saving taxpayer money.
Elon Musk and the Doge minions that have been unleashed on the American people are actually stealing taxpayer data and stealing taxpayer money.
Jeffries says Democrats will not support cuts to Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. The Pentagon is now ordering the removal of transgender service members as early as next month. This follows President Trump's executive order signed back in January. And Pierre Scott Newman reports attorneys general in at least 21 states have said they will try to block the military from implementing the policy.
The policy memo says that service members and recruits who have been diagnosed with, treated for, or showed symptoms of gender dysphoria are to be separated from the military. A similar policy was put in place during the first Trump presidency, but it was subsequently reversed during the Biden administration. The move follows a Trump White House executive order reinstating the policy issued a month ago. The latest Pentagon memo also says that the Department of Defense only recognizes two sexes, male and female. Scott Newman, NPR News, Washington.
Rough day on Wall Street. Stocks finished sharply lower as concerns about inflation and new tariffs from President Trump on foreign products drag the market lower. This is NPR. No woman has ever broken 4 minutes in the mile, but as NPR's Jonathan Lambert tells us, a new analysis hints that it might be possible if the fastest woman in the world gets a little help.
In 2023, Faith Kipyegon of Kenya shattered the world record for the women's mile by 5 seconds, running 4:07. That's a ways away from sub four, but she ran much of that race alone without a person called a pacer to block the wind. A team of researchers analyzed that race and estimate that Kipyegon could run 3:59 if she had a pacer just in front of and behind her for the whole race. For an all-female race, that would likely require pacers to sub in halfway through, disqualifying it as an official record. But the study suggests that, under the right circumstances, this major barrier could be broken. Jonathan Lambert, NPR News.
The tech magazine Wired is not usually known for its political coverage, but all that's changing with the new Trump administration as it tracks Elon Musk's Doge team. Wired has profiled the young team of techies working with the government's billionaire advisor to drastically cut the federal workforce. The magazine's knowledge and focus on Musk has led to a quick jump in its circulation this year. Well, stocks finish lower across the board on Wall Street today. The Dow lost 193 points. Tech-heavy NASDAQ down almost 3%. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Hiscox, committed to helping small businesses protect their dreams. Quotes and information on customized insurance for specific risks are available at Hiscox.com. Hiscox, business insurance experts. From the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping someone else less fortunate is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation at MacFound.org.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Elsa Chang in Culver City, California.
And I'm Juana Summers in Washington. Veterans groups are raising alarm about what they call indiscriminate cuts across the Department of Veterans Affairs by the Trump administration. That includes thousands of jobs cut this month, though it's hard to say exactly how many and how the cuts are affecting veterans' health and benefits. Members of Congress on both sides of the aisle say the new VA secretary has not been answering their questions. NPR Veterans correspondent Quill Lawrence is here with the latest. Hi there.
Hi.
So, Quill, you have been reporting on this, and you've reported that many of the people who are fired, they're veterans themselves. What can you tell us about who's been let go?
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, there are 400,000 people, more than that, work at the VA. They serve about 9 million veterans. The vast majority of those staff are healthcare providers, and they've mostly been excluded from the hiring freeze. But the cuts have come fast. There were 1,000 cut 2 weeks ago, another 1,400 last week, probably thousands of other empty posts that are empty because of the hiring freeze not getting filled. And VA sources who don't want to be named for fear of getting fired say that these jobs cuts are affecting veterans' care and that they were done in haste. And there have been errors. The VA, in both rounds of cuts, let people go from the Veterans Suicide Crisis Hotline. And I'm told by VA and congressional sources that those people let go were all reinstated, but whiplash is the word I'm hearing a lot.
Yeah, and speaking of whiplash, you've also reported that the VA said billions of dollars worth of contracts would be cut, but now they're reversing course and saying that the contracts are not going to be cut?
Yeah, there were 875 contracts. On Tuesday, the secretary of the VA said on social media that these cuts would save the VA $2 billion. I've seen the list and I've seen the email that says these contracts will be terminated. They included cancer treatment and safety inspectors and a huge database full of years' worth of medical research. It included contracts to audit VA for waste and abuse. And then by yesterday, a VA spokesman said, no, the contracts are just under review and these cuts aren't final. It was the same thing with an email that went out to VA staff nationwide that their purchase cards were limited to $1. These are cards that they use to buy anything under $2,500. It's supposed to streamline the purchasing process, but they use it to buy parts for dialysis machines or on the bottom end, like checking IDs for hiring, which costs $2.50. And again, 24 hours later, a VA spokesman told me that going forward, the VA is going to conduct its own review of expenses. So these purchasing cards, they're working again. So VA staff from one day to the next, they're hired or they're fired or they can't afford to fix their medical equipment. One doctor told me he just felt trolled, like Doge thought it would be funny to put an acute $1 spending limit instead of just saying no spending. But this is for dialysis machines. It's not funny.
It is not funny. So, I mean, the VA has been dealing with chronic shortages for years, really, of medical staff, of people to read disability claims as a few examples. How is morale there?
Yeah, I've been covering VA for about a dozen years. I've never had so many VA staff reach out to me anonymously because they're afraid they'll get fired. But so many of them are veterans, as you mentioned, about 30%, and they feel like this is a sacred mission. I've heard from people working on homeless veterans issues who say they can't get the staff to find the housing. I've heard from people in years-long medical research that are worried they're going to get canceled. Morale is low.
NPR's Quill Lawrence, thank you.
Thanks.
Last night, Chief Justice John Roberts paused a lower court ruling that said the Trump administration must release about $2 billion in foreign aid while the court reviews the case. This pause and the final decision could affect Food for Peace. That's the government's longest-running permanent program for international food assistance. It dates all the way back to the post-World War II period when American farmers found themselves with a surplus of grain. President Eisenhower signed it into law in 1954.
In the interest of reinforcing peace and well-being of free peoples throughout the world. In short, using food for peace.
Food for Peace is now part of USAID, and with USAID's future tied up in litigation, the program's future is in question, and so too is the outlook for American farmers who benefit from the program. Our colleagues Waylon Wong and Erica Barris from The Indicator report.
In 2020, the federal government bought around $2 billion worth of food aid from American farmers. These commodities were then distributed internationally.
That $2 billion represents less than a percent of the income farmers make from their crops. Still, for some industries, the government purchases are crucial.
Michelle Erickson-Jones is a fourth-generation farmer in Montana. Michelle says USAID food assistance programs are vital to her state.
It's not like we're just giving this aid for the sake of giving dollars. We're also building those relationships.
Michelle cites Japan and South Korea as examples of this policy working well.
These countries were some of the earliest recipients of food aid. Then, as their economies grew, they went from being recipients of donated food to being paying customers.
So the root of the program allows Montana to successfully export as much wheat as we do.
This deliberate effort to cultivate new markets was like a large-scale international trade version of when you get a free sample of something at the grocery store and then decide to buy it.
The national security rationale for food aid is that people who get this American-sponsored assistance are less likely to develop anti-U.S. sentiment. And Michelle says to also think of food aid as a border strategy. If people don't have to worry about going hungry, they're less likely to leave their home country and migrate to the U.S.
You know, there's this saying, like, you have 99 problems until, like, your one problem is food, and then you have one.
Michelle says it can be hard to make the case to farmers to support programs like USAID. One reason for this is the supply chain that connects growers with the ultimate recipients of food assistance.
Typically, farms don't sell their crops directly to USAID. Instead, they sell to a company like Cargill or Bunge. So farmers might not even know that they're participating in a program like Food for Peace.
Michelle says loss of that revenue from the closure of USAID might not be immediately felt.
But lawmakers in agriculture-heavy states are moving with urgency. Kansas Senator Jerry Moran, along with several other lawmakers, has proposed a bill to move Food for Peace from USAID to the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
USDA has boots on the ground and the infrastructure already in place to support the logistics for food assistance.
Moran says under the current system, foreign aid was being mismanaged. He pointed to an example of a Syrian national who was accused of selling USAID food kits on the black market to leaders of a terror organization. Jordan Skimmerhorn is one of the many contract workers with USAID who was furloughed.
She's skeptical whether USDA has the right expertise and staffing in each country to distribute food aid. Still, she believes some USAID programs will survive.
Every senator wants to protect USAID's investments in their state. Turns out USAID funds a bunch of different things in a bunch of different states.
We contacted the State Department, which is now running USAID. We asked about the department's long-range plans for the agency. We also asked what role Secretary of State Marco Rubio believes American agriculture should play in food security and U.S. foreign policy.
A spokesperson told us via email that the State Department is reviewing foreign aid and that, quote, programs that serve our nation's interests will continue. However, programs that aren't aligned with our national interest will not, end quote. Erica Barris,
Waylon Wong, NPR News.
Support for Planet Money comes from Capital One, offering their premium travel card, Venture X. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News. Mass protests are expected to bring parts of Greece to a standstill tomorrow, the two-year anniversary of the country's deadliest railway disaster. Public outrage over the Tempe crash is resurfacing, with a new poll showing 72% of Greeks believe the government tried to cover it up. Journalist Lydia Imanalidou reports.
Evdokia Tsagli remembers laughing moments before the train she was on collided head-on with a cargo train. Her carriage spun through the air.
I think I said over 100 times to myself, when is it gonna stop? When is it gonna stop?
Her wagon landed on top of the dining car ahead. She saw flames and smelled something unrecognizable. Tsagli survived, but 57 others did not. Like many other victims, she insists this was not an accident.
Because we're talking about a series of crimes.
And many Greeks suspect wrongdoing. After the collision, mass protests erupted. Despite millions in EU funding for railway safety, Greece never implemented critical signaling and remote control systems. Rail workers and officials repeatedly warned of an imminent disaster, but Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis blamed the crash on human error. Officials ruled the fire was caused by silicone oils in the train's transformer. He dismissed those who questioned the official story as conspiracy theorists. Until this recording surfaced last month. In an emergency call aired on Greek public media, a passenger says, "I have very little oxygen."
We also hear one person confessing, "We are dying," and turns to her best friend and tells her, "I love you."
Manos Papadakis, a professor at the University of Houston, is part of a team hired by victims' families to investigate. Their analysis of this audio, along with existing video, suggests that as many as 30 passengers survived the crash only to be burned alive. Experts believe one of the trains was carrying highly flammable, undeclared cargo that ignited on impact. What once sounded like conspiracy theories now seemed plausible. Nikos Passas, a Greek-American criminologist at Northeastern University, has been researching the case and the government's handling, which he says bears signs of corruption.
What is extraordinary is how unconscionable the response has been.
He points to evidence that the government tried to shield officials. When the European Public Prosecutor's Office tried to investigate former transport ministers, Greece's ruling party blocked it, and the prime minister faces allegations of attempting to influence the Greek judicial investigation. Passas says the crash site was tampered with. Some 50 truckloads of soil were removed, wreckage displaced, and the area paved over, making, he says, forensic recovery impossible.
So either we're talking about irresponsibility and extraordinary incompetence, or concerted effort to hide something.
Passas says the perception of a cover-up is unusually widespread. Under growing pressure and new protests fueled by the distress call tape, Prime Minister Mitsotakis recently walked back his earlier claims, admitting he could no longer rule out illicit cargo. He told local media that many possibilities remain open. The scale and intensity of protests in the coming weeks may influence the future of PM Mitsotakis and his government. For NPR News, I'm Lydia Emanoulidou in Athens.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Juana Summers.
And I'm Elsa Chang. One of this year's Oscar-nominated documentaries focuses its lens and its ears on the past. It's called Soundtrack to a Coup d'État. Its subject is the year 1960 and the Western plot to overthrow one of Africa's first democratically elected leaders, Patrice Lumumba. Bilal Qureshi reports on how American jazz inspired and accompanied Africa's struggle for freedom.
Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat opens with a bang. Restless Drumming by Max Roach, to be exact. Set to a rapid-fire montage of newsreels and full-screen quotes with footnotes.
And so you get these gorgeous graphics just popping out of the screen.
Film critic B. Ruby Rich.
And it probably takes you the first 5 minutes to get your bearing and start to figure out that this, in fact, is the tempo of the film.
President Eisenhower arrived. The 1960 session of the United Nations General Assembly is one of the most momentous diplomatic gatherings in modern history.
With its delegation yet to be seated, the Congo is the largest state to be admitted into the UN this year.
I was in school back then, and I remember it seemed every month we had to redraw the map of Africa because there was a new country and the name had changed. And so this moment in history is a very sexy moment.
1960 is referred to as the Year of Africa, when 16 newly free African countries took their seat at the UN. A sexy moment with a soundtrack to match. Johan Grimond-Pré is the Belgian director of Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat.
While researching a pivotal moment, end of the 50s, beginning of the 60s, when that wave of independence blew over the continent of Africa, I found that music was inherently so much part of the history of that whole story. And I could not but make sort of music into the protagonist of the film, so that actually dictated how the film was constructed.
The ballad or the bullet?
It's a tremendous film, man. It's dizzying, it's overwhelming, it's furious.
Hisham Aidi teaches African cultural politics at Columbia University.
It's an essay film, really. That's what it feels like.
And the theme of that essay is the global age of American jazz and the civil rights movement, when black anthems of freedom were ricocheting from Harlem to the streets of Ghana and Congo. Even the State Department was tuned in.
This is the voice of America, Washington, D.C.
Again, film critic B. Ruby Rich.
What we learn from the film is that the United States, in its attempt to win over the world from communism and from the Soviet Union, was sending musicians out around the world to promote the American side of the Cold War conflict.
Unofficial American ambassador of jazz, Dizzy Gillespie, one of the originators of that brand of jazz known as bebop.
As black artists from Gillespie to Louis Armstrong and Nina Simone were dispatched as jazz ambassadors, leaving Jim Crow segregation at home to play in free African capitals, music was being made. But behind the scenes, the political machinations were less harmonious, says Hisham Aidi.
You have the freedom and idealism and truth-telling of jazz juxtaposed against the cynicism and double talk of realpolitik.
A suite of CIA plots to overthrow leaders, interventions, Cold War calculations.
The Africanism is what they considered to be the real threat.
A soldier tries to stuff into the mumbo's mouth a crumpled speech.
The rats have got your flower.
Throughout the whole film, you hear speeches and voiceover that create the global context of that decolonization movement. But we zoom in detail with what's going on in the Congo, where Patrice Lumumba has been overthrown.
As Grimond-Pré explains, within months of coming to power in Congo, Patrice Lumumba was overthrown, imprisoned, and murdered. As the music played on, the role of the CIA in Belgium in the coup against Lumumba is documented in chilling detail on screen, with archival interviews, texts, and detailed footnotes. Grimond-Pré says at times the film was at the risk of becoming a dense academic PDF.
But it seems that actually it really crossed over to a big audience. And ultimately the Oscar, I never had expected that to be nominated, because I thought this is maybe a cryptic film, but not. I feel like people really relate to the film.
Let me fly away.
Ce jour-là, je portais un chignon.
Film critic B. Ruby Rich says that's because with Soundtrack to a Coup d'Etat, director Johan Grimond-Pre has found a new way to both resurrect and remix the archive, to explain the present with the undeniable music of the past. For NPR News, I'm Bilal Qureshi.
Millennials were hit hard by the news of a young actress dying yesterday. Michelle Trachtenberg was one of them. NPR's Netta Ulaby talked to a fan who, like Trachtenberg, was born in 1985.
Trachtenberg died at the age of 39, the same age as one of her fans. A.J. Lewisell lives in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Some of his earliest television memories include Michelle Trachtenberg in Nickelodeon's The Adventures of Pete and Pete back in the early 1990s.
I must have been seven, and I thought she was the coolest person ever.
Howdy, partner. I'm Nona F. Mecklenburg.
That's tiny little Michelle Trachtenberg impersonating a cowpoke on the show. She was goofy and exuberant. The episodes featuring her made a huge impression on little A.J. Lewisell.
One of her first big ones was a 4th of July episode where she helped someone tunnel out of their house because they got grounded on the 4th of July to see the fireworks.
Give me your poor. You're tired. You're grounded masses, struggling to be free through hard-patched clay.
From The Adventures of Pete and Pete, she jumped to the title role in the 1996 kids' movie, Harriet the Spy.
I want to see the whole world, and I want to write down everything!
And she just came in and just owned the part completely.
So A.J. Lewisell was thrilled when Michelle Trachtenberg popped up a few years later in another favorite show. In Buffy the Vampire Slayer, she played Dawn, the main character's kid sister.
Dawn was like our age.
Buffy, I know about the ritual.
As Dawn, Trachtenberg was a regular suburban teenager, but with supernatural secrets that at one point demanded self-annihilation in order to save the world.
Buffy, you have to let me go. Blood starts it, and until the blood stops flowing, it'll never stop.
Dawn was like Harry Potter, another millennial character with powers and moral dilemmas in the face of encroaching evil, Lewisell says. And as with Harry Potter, he and his friends watched Dawn grow up. They grew up together.
We get to see how she became more strong and kind of made us feel like maybe we're going to become that as well.
At the height of the Disney princess era, Trachtenberg starred in a Disney movie.
Perfect landing.
She was a science geek turned competitive figure skater in the 2005 film Ice Princess. Then,
Gossip Girl.
Trachtenberg played a villain.
I was just wondering if you had the chance to check Gossip Girl recently.
In later seasons of the TV show, she played a scheming socialite. Trachtenberg ate the part up, Lewisell says. Just one of the dozens of shows and movies that always felt more interesting, he says, when she was there.
It felt like having a friend around.
A friend he expected to see much more of. An old friend, he said, who he's going to miss. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from Progressive Insurance with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on safe driving habits at progressive.com, not available in California or from all agents. From FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. From the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org. And from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research.
Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Sandpoint and King Cove. GCI offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and pricing as in Anchorage. More information is available at gci.com/internet.
Stay inside the door and not be brown-skinned girls. Stay home.